And I want to go back to this story just for a
minute. Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
Nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and given unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all these sayings. And listen to what David did. David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men. And listen to this last part, 200 abode by the stuff. 200 abode by the stuff. You can go ahead and sit down. We had went over this last Sunday a little bit about who Nabal was. And if we go back and we read this story a little bit, we know that David has already been anointed as the king. The prophets already come by and he said, David, you're going to be the king of Israel. He'd already defeated Goliath. He was already at a place where David had a name about him. So if you were in Israel at this time, you knew King Saul, but you also knew who David was, right? And so Nabal was a man who was no doubt known throughout Israel. He was quite rich, had a lot of land, had a lot of flocks, and had a lot of supplies. So when David is on the run from Saul, as Saul sought his life as the successor to the kingship, we know that David went and he had a group of men, started out about 400 of them, and it grew into about 600 men. But as he's going from place to place, they got hungry, they got thirsty, they got tired, and they said, hey, Nabal down there, he's got all kinds of flocks, he's got food, he's got shelter and drink, and he can take care of us. So David sent his men, he said, go tell Nabal that David needs this stuff. Nabal will know who I am. And of course, we know what happens as we read here. Nabal, when he hears that David's in trouble and needs help, his response is, who is David? Who's this son of Jesse, right? And the truth of the matter is, Nabal knew exactly who David was. He knew everything about David. And that's why we find that the name Nabal literally is translated to fool. It means that Nabal was indeed a fool because of what he did here. And as the story goes on, David had his men, he said, get your sword. He put his sword on. He said, we're going to go visit Nabal. And I'm telling you right now, if there was one man you did not want to come visit you, it was David, right? When David was mad. David done slew a bear. He slew a lion. He slew a giant. There was nothing that was standing in front of David and the power of God that was going to stand. So as they went up there, we know that Nabal's wife, of course, stopped this whole thing and gave David everything that he needed. And what ends up happening to Nabal later on is that he is struck with a stroke or a heart attack there, and he ends up losing his life. But the point of all that story is that David had a group of men with him that were warriors. These men were not regular men. Matter of fact, the Bible said it this way in 1 Samuel 22. It said that David gathered everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, say amen, and everyone that was discontented. In other words, they was unsatisfied with the current political landscape. All right, and he gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. So he got the discontented, the ones in debt, and the ones who were in distress, and he brought them all together. And you want to talk about a dangerous group of men. It's men that felt like, I've got nothing else to lose. I might as well join this David, right? Well, you know what we have today? Man, we're living in a weird time, and we talked about a little bit of this on this week and really the past few weeks. We live in a strange time in America. There's a lot of weird things going on right now, but one thing that we have seen is that we've got a group of people on the rise right now that said, you know what? We're not happy with the way things are going. Not the left, not the right, but the fact that we left the kingship. Amen? We have removed ourselves from the kingdom so much, and so we see that people are really starting to rise up here. But what's interesting about all this is as David got these 400 men who were going to fight by his side and going to confront Nabal, the Bible throws this in, that there was 200 men that stayed with the stuff. There was 200 men that did not follow the king. And I want to use this just for a little bit, the king or the cargo. You've got a choice to make today. You either follow the king or you can follow the cargo. You can follow the stuff. You can go in places where God's voice is so hard to hear because of everything that surrounds us. And you eventually get to a point in life. And I don't know if you've ever felt like this, but you ever got to a point where you feel like you don't own the stuff, but the stuff has now owned you? Everything you do is controlled by it. Everything that you want to go do, I gotta go make sure the stuff's all right. I got to make sure this is okay. I got to get this in order. I got to get that in order. And so you don't even own that stuff. That stuff has now ownership over top of you, and that's what we got to be careful. Then there's a lot of stuff out there. I don't know what these men were out there guarding. I don't know why these 200 did not go with David. The Bible doesn't tell us that, but I know this much, that there's a lot of distractions out there that keep us from following where God wants us to be. And those distractions come in many different forms. It comes through technology. Amen. Listen, I want to get on it. I don't care what you got. I don't care if you're Facebook and Snapchat and Twitter and X, and none of that matters to me. I don't care. But what I'm telling you is this. If we're not careful, we can get down a rabbit hole somewhere and surround ourselves with so much junk that we can't go with the king when the king says, follow me, because we're going away, right? And if we're not careful, all the stuff in our way will block us from getting there. And I'm telling you today, we got to get the stuff out of the way, get the cargo out of the way, and we got to get to the king with everything in us. Sometimes we invite people, you ever heard this excuse? And I know we've all used it, right? Hey, why don't you come to church with me? I got too much stuff to do. I got too much stuff going on. There's way too much stuff at my house for me to go to church. We've all said that, right? There's way too much stuff going on. I can't get there. There's too many things. But I've always thought, wonder what that stuff is. Wonder what the stuff is that holds us from getting to the king. Some people's stuff is the real thing. Some people has addictions in the way, right? I'd go to church, but we don't want to say I've got addictions in the way. Right? I'd go to church, but I got too many addictions. No, we'll say, I'd go to church, but I got too much stuff going on. Some people, it's guilt. Some people, it's some disbelief. Some people have been hurt in church, and you want to talk about something hard to get over is church hurt, right? You want to come to church with me? Church, I got too much stuff going on for that. Instead of dealing with the trauma that they've been through, some people, it's fear. Some people, I'll be honest with you, some people are afraid to get saved. Amen? As silly as what that, I've been there, right? I remember sitting through a service with my wife, and she was under conviction. And I was thinking to myself, God, please don't let her get saved. Don't let her get saved. I'm going to have to go too. Oh, hold out, Amanda. Right? Sometimes we have ridiculous things in the way and we say, I got too much stuff going on. But the truth of the matter is, there is nothing more important than removing the stuff and getting unto Jesus. What we care about, we don't call stuff. You know that's that? You ever met somebody that had a house burned down? I ain't never heard somebody whose house burned down and they just say, yeah, I lost all my stuff. What they'll say is, I lost my baby pictures. I lost something my dad gave me, something my mom gave me. I lost this or I lost. It's very specific. If it means something to us, it's very specific, right? It's stuff when it's insignificant. It's, oh, I got all that stuff over. I got all that junk over there. But when it's real specific things, we want to call those out. If it's real specific things, that's why when somebody says, you want to go eat after church, I tell them, well, I got to go ask my wife and the kids, see what we're going to do. I don't say, let me go ask my stuff, and then I'll let you know, right? I wouldn't have a wife too long if I started doing that. So if it means something to you, it's not just stuff anymore. We'll call it out. But when it's those insignificant things in our life, when we really break down and we say, all right, what is preventing me from following the King? What stuff is in my way from following the King? I start to realize, that's really not that big. That's really not that important. That stuff's really just, we can easily brush it this way. We can get it that way. But I got to get to the King with everything. Wherever the King goes, Thomas has to go. If Thomas stays with the stuff, the King will leave Thomas and march on, right? But I've got to make sure that I get rid of the stuff and get to where the King is. The Bible says this, and it's an interesting little story here in the book of Luke in chapter 12. We meet another character here, and I want you to look at this guy. We don't know his name. Doesn't tell it because it's a parable that Jesus spake. But if I had to give him a name, I'd call him Mr. Bigger Barnes. And Mr. Bigger Barnes here had a very unique problem. And some of us sometimes say, I wish I had the problem of having too much. I don't know what to do with it, right? Well, Mr. Bigger Barnes did have that problem. But what we find is that he had so much stuff that he couldn't get to the King. Jesus said this, and he spake a parable unto them, saying that the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? There's no room for me to bestow my fruits. And he said, I know what I'm going to do. I will tear down these barns and I'm going to build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and all my good. In other words, he said, I got so much stuff, I don't know what to do with it. But you know what? I'm going to tear down my storage and I'm going to build more storage so I can store even more stuff that gets in the way. And I will say to myself, self, thou hast much laid up goods for many years. And take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You know what? That man had a lot of stuff, but what he didn't have was the Spirit. It's possible in our life that, man, we can accumulate a lot of stuff and be void of the Spirit. We can have a lot of toys at that. We can have four-wheelers and boats and campers and cars. And, man, God has blessed me with all this stuff, but that stuff can get in the way of us getting to the King. It's possible for us to get, this is what happened to this man. Stuff will block your vision. It'll rob you of joy eventually. Let me tell you, when stuff starts to stink is when you got to do maintenance on it. Oh, my tires are flat. I got to fix those. Oh, I got to change the oil. I got to do brakes. I got to do this. I got to do that. The stuff starts to wear down. That's the thing about buying a vehicle, right? When we buy a vehicle, we're all excited at first. Like, I got a new vehicle. About a year down the road, you realize, I don't want a payment. I don't want to deal with this stuff anymore, right? That's what happened. The stuff eventually wears thin. The only thing that I've ever had in my life that didn't wear off was the Spirit of Jesus. Amen. It is new every day. The Bible says that his mercy is new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. It's something that's never wore off of me when I get a hold of it. Amen. The stuff will lead you astray. It'll get in your way. Listen, God said, thou fool, this night thy soul is required. You've got all the stuff in your way, and yet you never made it to me. We got to get the cargo out of the way and get to the king. Whatever it takes, remove the cargo, get it out of your way, and get to the king. Don't let the stuff block your appointment with Jesus today. Every one of us in here, we've got a place to get today, and it's not with our stuff, it is with Jesus. The Bible also says this in Luke 14, it said that the king made a great supper, and he invited many people to it. He said, hey, I've got a great thing. Why don't you come on down? And as they began to get the invite, each one of them gave an excuse. Well, Lord, I married somebody. I got to go take care of my wife. There's no way I can get down there. Another one said, I done bought 5 yoke of oxen. How am I supposed to get down there to where to this dinner that you have? And another one said, I've already bought land. I got to go down there and tend that land. And what does the king tell him? He says, none of these which were bidden to my supper and didn't come shall ever taste of it. If we don't come to Jesus when Jesus calls us, there'll come a day when that invitation will be over. There'll come a day when he'll say, none of these which were bidden shall taste of it. They had too much other stuff going on, and one day the doors of that supper hall is going to close and no one else is going to be able to get in. He says, go out and find the one whose stuff is not in the way. Find the ones who don't have too much things in the way to get to the king and tell them to come in. And thank God, let me tell you, that's where he finds a lot of us at. Thank God. I don't know, man, I've had stuff in my way, but let me tell you, when the king called, the stuff come crumbling down. Amen. And I was able to follow the king and get to the king. And we got to get to a place where we can't let the stuff block our following of Jesus. And goes on in Matthew 13, we read about the parable of the sower, and we know that story. And he says that he went out and he sowed these seeds, and that some fell on stony ground, and some did not have much earth on them, and some that the fowls of the air came and devoured. And he goes and he talks about these seeds in Matthew 13 that fell amongst the thorns. And as they began to grow, that the cares of the world began to choke them out, and they died. The deceitfulness of riches came along, and it killed the seeds out. And what I have found is that it's not a lack of belief with people. It's usually when you ask them, are you believe in Jesus? Yeah, absolutely, I do. I think a recent survey showed something like 65% of America as a whole believes in Jesus. They believe the God. Now, whether they practice it, it didn't say that, obviously. But they believe in it, right? So it's not so much a lack of belief with people. It's not even a lack of want to. If you've ever lived a life outside of Jesus, you can agree there's a change that you want to take place. I wanted change more than anything. The only problem was I didn't know how to get the stuff out of the way. There was so much stuff in my way. There were so many obstacles for me to get to the king. It wasn't feasible, right? I thought, there's no way I can get there. That's my problem. So it's not so much that it's a lack of want to, because I think many people are wanting to. It's the problem is that we've got too much stuff in the way to know how to get to him. And the problem is that as these things around us begin to grow, all they do is they choke us out and they leave us in want. And there's no sadder place to be than in want of something, in want of the Spirit, in want of Jesus. Whenever we call upon his name and we can't hear him calling back unto us. Whenever we call on the name of Jesus and he doesn't answer because we got too much stuff in the way. Jesus goes on and he asks this question, and hear me well on this one. He says, what will it profit a man to gain the whole world? All the stuff, everything that you've ever wanted, You get it all. You get the riches. You get the power. You can profit everything. What will it profit a man if he gained all that and yet lose his soul? Or what shall he give in exchange for his soul? That Mr. Bigger Barnes, even though that he had everything that he wanted in those barns, whenever he died, guess what? That's as far as the stuff went. It went all the way to the new barns and no further. Everything in our lives that we've accumulated, everything that we've got in our, everything that we have, all the stuff that's piled up around us, one day when we go to the grave, that stuff will stay right there. It won't follow us any further. The only thing that'll follow us further than the stuff, the only thing that'll follow us further than the grave is the Spirit of Jesus that dwells deep within us. Amen. That's the only thing that can go beyond the grave. All the stuff eventually will fail. What stuff is more important than following the king? Those 200 men, and it's interesting that it's a very similar story about David. Whenever he goes down to Ziklag, it says that he took the 400 with him, and we've heard Damon preach about this, but there was 200 that was too tired. There was 200 that sat down. There was 200 that didn't want to go any further. So David took the 400 with him down to Ziklag to recover all. And once again, we find that these 200 decided to sit it out as the 400 went down there to do battle. And they said, you know what? I'm following the king. And the problem is this, is that some people don't learn, but when we have to lay the stuff down, get the stuff out of the way, and get to Jesus with everything in us. But you know what your enemy wants you to focus on? He wants to focus on the stuff around you. I can't give my life to Jesus right now. It's pretty obvious. I got too much stuff going on. My kids are in sports. So he understands. I got too much going on. My job's too hectic right now. So therefore, I can't follow the king. There's too much stuff. If the enemy can just make sure that your focus is on the stuff instead of the king, he can win this, right? If he can make sure that you look at what's around you instead of what's in front of you, he can win this thing. But you know what? Even if he cannot, because here's what he does. He can't always convince you that Jesus isn't real, right? The enemy never come to me and said, hey, there is no God, because I was a little bit smarter than that, right? I was raised around it. I knew that God was real. So he never said, there is no king, there is no God. He didn't do that. But what he did do was he said, if I can't convince you that God isn't real, I'm going to block you in with the stuff. I'm going to make sure that you've got so much going on, that your life is such a mess, that you've got too much here and too much there, that there's no way you can get to Jesus. He said, I'm going to make sure that you are completely and totally bombarded with things. But stay with the stuff and don't follow the king. That's always in my life, is that I was surrounded by a lot of things, but no spirit. I was surrounded with a lot of things, but no king. I was surrounded by a lot of things, but I couldn't get to Jesus. And what I've found is this, is that if he can't just surround you in and block you in with stuff, you know what he'll do? The enemy loves to tell you, wait. Wait a little longer. Wait a little. This stuff that you got right now, it's fun. Wait just a little bit longer. Enjoy the stuff. Enjoy the things that's going on around you. There is time. There is time. There is time. Just like Mr. Bigger Barnes, he said, there's time in my life. I'm just going to build down and build greater, until one day he heard the words, thou fool. I want to tell you today that we have to get things out of our life to get to the king. I don't know what keeps people from serving him. I don't know what things in our life that we feel are more important. That's something that you have to answer deep down in your soul. For me, I had a lot of distractions in my life, and I had all this stuff that blocked me from getting to the king, and yet all I needed was to get to the king to break down the stuff, and it was this vicious cycle going on in my life, but I had to get there somehow. Whatever's going on, whatever distractions you have in your life, whatever things that are holding you from getting to him, we have to tear down those strongholds, and we got to get to the king. The book of Acts says this. I'm getting ready to close, but Paul was preaching unto a Roman governor named Felix. And I love what he says here. It says that Felix trembled at the words of Paul, as Paul spake to him and told him about being a born-again Christian, about serving Jesus and how Jesus had transformed his life. It said that Felix began to tremble about it. But this was the interesting part, is that as Paul finishes his sermon unto Felix, Felix tells him, Paul, come back in a more convenient season. Come back in a more convenient season, and then you can tell me more about this Jesus guy. And what I've found is that oftentimes we live in this reality that we think, you know what? There's got to be a more convenient time to serve God. Right now, it's football season. Right now, it's hunting season. Right now, it's school. Right now, it's work. Right now, it's this. Right now, there's too much stuff going on. If I can just wait a little bit longer, a more convenient time. But you know what? We never find that convenient time in our life. This Felix, we never read about him ever again because he never found a more convenient time in his life. The stuff he loved more than the calling of Jesus. God will move people. He can move people. He can move through people. But let me tell you what. God doesn't move piles. He moves the people through the piles. God didn't just tear down He moved me through the things in my life, through the stuff in my life, through the junk, through the cargo, and I got to the King. And I want to tell you that you can do that today. You can ditch the cargo. You can follow the King. You can put down the stuff. You can go after the Master. We can easily tear down those walls and get to the King. And I want to tell you today to don't follow the stuff, follow the King. Ditch the cargo, follow the King. Lay down the things that hold you back and follow the King. Whatever it takes, we got to get to the King. If you will, stand to your feet. I don't know what every person is. I don't know what you've been through in life. I don't know your background, your story. You may know mine. You may know bits and pieces of mine. There's a lot of different stories in this church, and these testimonies are incredible. Everybody in here. But one thing that we all have in common is this. There was barriers that had to be broke down. There was things that prevented me from getting to the King. There was things in my life that was not convenient that had to be changed. There was things in my life that had to be tore down. But whenever I finally got to the King, all the stuff faded. All the important things that I thought was important, it faded. It wasn't important. The only thing that mattered in my life was following the King. The stuff tore my marriage apart. The King fixed it. The stuff destroyed my family. The King patched it. The stuff will destroy you. The King will fix you. All the stuff going on in your life, yet the King wants one thing, and that is to restore you. The Bible says that Jesus tells his disciples that his yoke is easy. He's not here to pile on a bunch of more stuff. Whenever I come to Jesus, I didn't have all these rules that he crowned me with. He didn't say, you want to serve me? You got to get a suit on. You got to fix that hair. You got to make sure you're clean. You got to make sure this. He didn't do none of that. All he did was come unto me. All you that labor, and I will give you rest. That's all the King wanted me to do. Get rid of the stuff, follow the King. Break through the stuff, follow the King. When the King goes, I go. When the King's here, I'm there, right? Follow the King, get rid of the cargo, get rid of the stuff out of your life. As they sing today, I want to invite you tonight, or this morning, if you want to pray, you can come pray. There's some people around here that's had a lot of stuff in their life, that's had a lot of cargo in the way, that's had a lot of bad relationships, a lot of failed relationships, a lot of failed experiments in their life, a lot of good times and bad times. There's been a lot of stuff in everybody in here's life. But one thing's for certain is that we have overcame by the blood of the Lamb, and we can get to the King. And if you need to get to the King today, I know some men around here, and I know some women around here that know how to get there. I want to invite you today as they sing. If you need to pray, you can come pray. If you need to ask God anything, then thank God this is a good place to do it. The King is here. The King is listening. Thank you, Jesus.